do need your prayers tonight, as you already know. Thankful to hear the sweet prayer that's been offered. Appreciate it. Thank the Lord for blessing the dear brother to have words in his prayer when all those good things come solely from the Lord. And appreciate your presence here tonight. Just ask you, as I stand before you, to just pray for me. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you tonight from the book of Mark. And if I have anything to share, it'll be from this passage. And we'll look to the Lord for the words that we stand in need of to be able to declare the truth as it is in Christ. This passage tells us about an occasion where Jesus had communication with his disciples. And it's one of those places in the Bible that we know that by inspiration of God has been left on record. I think of all the things, as we've said many times before, that could have been written. In one place it says, if the things that could have been written were written, the world couldn't hold the books. So it's a very special thing every time you read of a time where he communicated with his disciples and they with him, that is recorded in the Word of God, and it's not there without purpose or meaning, but it's for our learning, for it's left on record for us. So there's much that we can glean from this, that the Lord will bless us. If the Lord doesn't bless us, we'll read the Word, and it'll be good to hear it read. But it takes the blessing of Almighty God to be able to preach and to share the truth with God's little children. And it takes the blessing of God for you to be able to hear it. And I know you know all those things, but I think we need to remind one another that over and over so that we don't take any of this for granted. There's nothing more important that we can be in this world than a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a disciple is not just to be a child of God. There's not a thing you can do to cause no obedience on our part, nothing we can do in order to become a child of God. To be his child, to be a child born of God, has to take the power of Almighty God where he quickens us and makes us alive. To be a disciple is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ once he has awakened us by his grace and given us an ear to hear and an eye to see and a heart to understand the truth. Then it is a duty and a responsibility that falls on the little child of God to be obedient to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and be concerned in our lives that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a responsibility. Now, we can't do that on our own. We won't be able to follow him. We won't have a desire to follow him. That all comes from the Lord. But it is a responsibility on our part to be followers, to be learners, to be disciplined or disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he calls his disciples. He has to initiate that act and has to first work in us. But then we're to work out what he has worked in being obedient. And your being here tonight's very important in you being a disciple, a follower of Christ. If you don't know what he said, you certainly can't do what he says. Can't be obedient to his word if you don't hear his word. But we also could come tonight and hear his word and not be obedient. We could come tonight and listen to what the Bible says we ought to do and give consent to it and say, yeah, that's what we ought to do, but then go out the door without any action on our part. We're really not being disciples. That doesn't mean you're not a child of God, but it means we're not being, and if we're not listening to him, we're not heeding him, we're not truly being his disciple. In order to do that, we have to forsake what we want, forsake our thoughts and our ways, and forsake our very life. We have to give away those things that maybe we feel are the most valuable to us in order to gain that which you really can't lose, the wonderful blessings of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the young rich ruler, he gave up the treasures of the joy of being with the Lord and having communication and fellowship with the Lord, because he loved the money in his pocket, or he loved riches more than he loved the Lord. And you can't be a disciple, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that be the case. Well, let's listen to this about his disciples. And I am thankful that it's given to us here that The disciple doesn't have to always be perfect. It would be bad if we were always, if we, in order to be a disciple, we'd have to be perfect. And we'd have to be always on track. Disciples can act really strange at times. Strange when they follow the Lord, but then even more strange when they don't follow the Lord, because He's given us so many reasons to follow Him. And certainly those lessons are in this passage. We'll begin reading right at verse 14. It says, and this is Mark chapter 8. He says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf." And they've just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and on their efforts to get to where they were going, they forgot to bring anything to eat. And that seemed to be a major concern with them, whether they had something to eat or not. And that's something we kind of can relate to when it comes to some of that. A whole lot of our time is spent on what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what we're going to put on. And the Lord told us not to take anxious thought about those things, didn't say not to take any thought about them, but don't be full of care about those things. And we sang about that tonight, didn't we? The Lord that takes care of the sparrow, and the Lord that clothes the lily. If he's that kind of God, and He takes care of the sparrow, and He clothes the lily, how much more shall He not take care of you? And He says to them in Matthew's writing, "O ye of little faith." And who's He talking to there? He's talking to His disciples. And He's also talking to us tonight, to be not of little faith, but rather to be trusting and depending upon the Lord. And how easy we can get away from trusting and depending. These are men that certainly were trusting and were depending, but they'd gotten to a place they forgot to take bread, and neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And He charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." Now over in Matthew 16, you'll read the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. And He's really talking, and tells us later what He's talking about. But I'll tell you what He's not talking about. He's not talking about bread. He's using wonderful language, as the Lord did, parabolic language, if you will, making a word picture and telling them that there was something more important than their daily bread. And one of the things they needed to be concerned about is what they're eating, in the sense of what they're hearing doctrinally and what they're following and heeding doctrinally. Some people have the idea that, well, if you're worshiping the Lord, it really doesn't matter what doctrine is preached and what doctrine you're following, what you believe or what you follow. As long as you're going to church, it really doesn't matter which church you go to. As long as you're hearing someone preach, it doesn't really matter who's preaching. Sometimes they even say we're all going to the same place and we're all working together to get there. And one old Baptist preacher one time said, "Yeah, all man is working to get to the same place, and they all will get there if the Lord's grace doesn't intervene." And of course, that wasn't having in mind what they had in mind. What he's simply saying in those statements is that the wages of sin is death. And when it gets down to what we've worked for and what we've earned and what we've merited, believe me, dear brethren, as you already know, none of us want those things. And I'm not downing others that have a zeal of God. I'm thankful whenever I see a zeal of God. I hope you are too. When I see someone who's desiring to serve God, who wants to serve God, who wants to worship God, even if it's not according to knowledge, that love of God and that desire to serve God and that desire to worship God can only come from God. A man doesn't have that on his own. We know from Psalms 10, it says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." A little later it tells us over in the Psalms that it is the fool who has said in his heart, "There is no God." And when you find someone who does know that there's a God and does have a desire to worship the God of heaven, does have to, and I'm not talking about just to offer praises to an idol. That's different. I'm talking about one who's come to an understanding to know God. Listen, if he did that, he didn't come to that by his own ability. It's an evidence that God has worked a work in his of grace in his heart, and that work comes from above. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord has a people, out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people. And some of them are wrapped up in all kinds of untruth and false doctrine of this world and don't really understand the righteousness of God or how it is that we're righteous before God and not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. As he tells us in Romans 10, they're going about to establish their own righteousness by their good works. And that comes from a doctrine that you and I are told here to take heed unto. And that's what he's saying. You beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Sadducees, he says in Matthew, the leaven of the Sadducees are very similar. But Herod also was one who had claimed to be the Messiah. In other words, to get their eyes off Jesus and on someone else. You know, sometimes churches do that when they get their eyes off their Lord and their eyes on their pastor. And the next thing you know, rather than worshiping God, they're worshiping a man, they're worshiping a pastor. We see great crowds of people that are loading into a place because so-and-so is there, or some group is there, or something is there. And really, tonight I hope you're here for no other reason other than this is the Lord's church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it isn't because so-and-so is preaching tonight or so-and-so is the pastor here, but rather that this is the Lord's church and he's the one who gives us a pastor. And like the brethren said, it really doesn't matter who does the preaching. It doesn't matter who brings the water. It's just we pray that the Lord will bless someone to preach and the Lord will bless someone to bring the water because we're thirsty. And what we need is fellowship, not just, we do need fellowship with one another. But listen, brethren, if our fellowship with one another isn't in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have that anywhere, can't you? It's an empty fellowship. And it's not going to fill the longing and the need that you and I have in our hearts as God's little children. And there's a zeal of God that a little child of God has, and the only way that he'll really find a joy and a rest about that is when he submits himself to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means to understand that I have no righteousness but Jesus. That I have no Savior but Jesus. That if it were not for Jesus and what he did at Calvary and what he paid the sin debt for me, if it was not for that, there would be no hope for me. There would be no hope for any man, woman, boy, or girl. But because of what Jesus did, he did all that was necessary that everyone the Father had given him in covenant even before the foundation of the world will be with him in glory. And when we look to him, we'll find everything that we need right here in this time world. That gives me a great deal of comfort tonight. It does when I remember it. But there are sometimes I don't remember it. How about you? There are sometimes I forget it. Sometimes people will tell you, if you forget it, well, then you must not be his. Listen, the only ones who can forget it are those who knew it. And the only ones who've ever knew it are those who are his. And the reason he knew it is because he showed it to you. He's revealed it to you. The Spirit of God's in your heart allowing you to see it. And if you forgot it, it means you once knew it. And all, yeah, those are the ones that you love to be able to preach to and to be able to give a little cup of gospel water to in order to let them remember again what kind of Savior they had. And I'm glad we have a loving enough Savior that when his disciples get even in rebellion and disobedient, he doesn't give up on them. He didn't hear, and he doesn't with you and me. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad? Sometimes men will give up on you. Matter of fact, most of the time they will. But the Lord himself will never let loose of one of his children. If he loved you and before the foundation of the world, he loves you today. And he will never stop loving you. And though you may pull away and stray from him, he will chasten you. He loves you enough to chasten you, but you'll never fall completely out of his watch care or out of his love or his fellowship. That's what salvation is. It's in what Jesus did for us. Now he said the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now he tells us a little later what he's talking about. Kind of touched on that a little bit. May do it more and may not say any more about it. But they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. In other words, they're thinking, well, the master is concerned that we don't have any bread. The master is telling us that when we go to buy bread, we're not going to be able to get the bread that the Pharisees have, or the bread that has any of the leaven of the Pharisees. And where in the world are we going to get bread? They're concerned more about the natural things than they are the spiritual things. And because of that, they completely miss the lesson. You know, how many times have we even read the Bible or been sitting in a congregation where the good news is being shared, and because our mind is on natural things and more concerned about natural things than our mind is on spiritual things, and we completely miss the lesson. I love the passage over in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Of course, you know, Old Baptists just love the 8th chapter of the book of Romans anyway, but this is one of the early passages in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans that talk about the carnal mind and the natural mind, minding the things of the flesh and minding the things of the spirit. And we see from this, and I haven't read all that text, but we'll get back to it, the Lord willing. We'll see from that text as we read it that the disciples' problem was that they had become naturally minded rather than spiritually minded. And I'll tell you, when you want to have problems in a church, you let a church start being naturally minded rather than spiritually minded. You want to see a problem in a little believer's life come, you find him or her becoming more naturally minded than they are spiritually minded. You want to see trouble in a home, you let a husband and a wife become more naturally minded than they are spiritually minded. And it's a battle. Sometimes brethren say, well, aren't you either one or the other? Aren't you either naturally minded or spiritually minded? Listen, the man of this world is altogether naturally minded. He has a carnal mind. He has no spiritual mind. He has no spiritual thought. And that's where you and I would be were it not for the grace of God. But the beauty of what the Lord has done is that He's worked in us a knowledge that we did not have on our own. We can know things by faith that we could not see with our natural eye, or hear with our natural ear, or understand with our natural heart. But we have been given a spiritual eye, a spiritual ear, and a spiritual heart, if you will, in the new birth, where we can know things spiritually where at one time we just simply could not see them. Tonight, the things that we're saying, if they're truly spiritual, I pray that they are. If they're natural and that's all they are, this won't be of any benefit. But if it's truly the truth is preached in how? And power and demonstration of the Spirit. And the only way you and I can pick up this information is through the spiritual senses that the Lord has given us. We don't learn it with the natural eye or the natural ear or the natural heart, but we understand it by the Spirit of God. It says, the eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. And isn't that what we're talking about tonight? The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That's what we're talking about. His watch care of you and me are the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And the natural, even the natural blessings as well as the spiritual blessings have come to us because of what He's done for us. And our hope of being with Him in heaven is only based on what He's done and has prepared for us. And that's what we preach about. But you know, He says that I can't see that. And the ear can't hear that, and the heart can't understand that. But then He didn't say you can't know anything about it. Sometimes we get the idea, well, that means I just won't get to know anything about it. But that's not what He said. He says, but He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you ever come to church and just get so much, you go like, phew, I don't know how I got all that. Well, it wasn't because you were so smart. It wasn't because you were so everything. But it was because God in the Spirit, by His Spirit, has opened up your eyes and your ears and your heart so that you could fill your cup with the wonderful truth and go out the door and hopefully take those things and use them in your life in a way that you can be a better disciple. That is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you want to walk more like Him and act more like Him and shine your light and be the salt and light that the Lord has called you to be, to the honor and the glory of God, because He's done so much for you, you can't ever do enough in return for Him. And I hope we see that and understand that tonight. There are some people who think you do all of those things so you can get to die and go home to be with Him in glory. And if you've done enough good things, He'll let you in. But if you haven't done enough good, then you won't be able to get in. And they're laboring all their life under that false doctrine. Could they be a child of God thinking that? Absolutely. But I'm telling you what, they aren't. They're not happy, and they're not at rest, and they're not enjoying the kingdom, which is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. They're troubled, and they're broken, and they're in the highways and the hedges in this world, and all to be able to share with them. Paul said this. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God." In other words, they're trying to get good enough and be accepted with God when their real acceptance has to come only one way, isn't it? You know, even to be able to pray tonight, if Brother London had to get good enough in order for our petitions to be carried to heaven, we'd have been in trouble. And I'm not downing Brother London. I'm saying if Brother Charles had to get good enough for our petitions to be heard in heaven, or any of the brethren, or the best preacher you ever heard or ever known, or the best man you've ever heard or ever known, with the exception of one, if we had to depend on anyone else, listen, that's part of the doctrine of Herod. That's part of the doctrine of the Pharisees. That's part of the doctrine of the Sadducees. It's a part of the doctrine that he says, you beware of the leaven. Because that little bit of leaven, if you let that enter in into your life, or you let it enter into the church, it'll rob you of the joys of being able to say, there's only one I can trust in. Listen, I can only trust in Jesus tonight. And when it comes time to die and how I'm going to get home to glory, there's only one that I can depend on to be able to carry me to heaven. That's the one who came down from heaven. Listen, if I had to get there on my own, I don't know the way. Do you? Like somebody said, when you die, you won't even get to the cemetery on your own. Somebody's going to have to carry you. Because when you're dead, that's what happens. And if we get to go home, and I do hope and pray we get to go, we sing that hymn, I am going to a city. I'll tell you, we're going, but not by our own power or by our own might. There's one who's going to come at the moment of death and carry us out of this old troubled world to be with Him. And my hope is not in, your hope surely shouldn't be in it shouldn't be in Herod or any other man who stands in the place saying, I'm the one you need to trust in. And there are many men who do that today. There are religious organizations in this world today who say, we are Christ today here on the earth, and you can just trust in us and depend upon us. And God has given us the power to forgive sins. No, He hasn't. There's only one who can forgive sins, and that is God. That is God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you have your sins forgiven, I can forgive you if you ask me to forgive you, and you've done something wrong against me. I should and could forgive you in that sense. But listen, every sin is really committed against who? It's against Almighty God. And there is only one who can forgive our sins. And the Bible says we already have, as His children, the forgiveness of sins in the person of Jesus Christ. And He alone. He's the only name. When they ask about that one who laid at the temple, called the gate of the temple called Beautiful, and how that one who was lame from his mother's womb was blessed to walk. And remember, they said they wanted to worship Peter, didn't they? Peter didn't take that doctrine, did he? The leaven of the Pharisees, and said, okay, just give me a little praise, give me a little worship. Listen, man kind of wants praise and worship. You ever notice that? You say, well, I don't really want anybody to worship me, but we do like it when they brag on us, and we do like when they, you know, kind of just a little bit of praise here and there. That makes me feel good. I get all puffed up. The next thing you know, I got a great big old head. Like a Louisiana preacher told me one time, he said, let that little boy preach. He said, because his head get real big, next thing you know, it's going to swell up. He can't carry it around. He said, but don't worry about it. The Lord's a good head popper. He'll pop his head in a minute. And I'm telling you, the disciples got like that sometimes. They said, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Which of us is the greatest? Oh, they're looking there. They're getting a Messiah complex there. There's only one Messiah. It's not Gary Utes or any other old Baptist preacher or any other man. It's no man on the face of this earth. There is no one who is Christ's representative. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father as our intercessor, as our high priest, as our all in all, as our everything. And if we take any other doctrine, we're eating some of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. That means you and I need to guard our pulpits and guard what we hear in order that we're making sure what's being taught is the truth and nothing but the truth, and it's what's laid down in God's Word. And if you eat that, it'll make you well, make you healthy, and it won't get you the big head. It'll keep you humble at your feet of your brethren. It'll make you beneficial to your brethren. It'll make you love them more. It'll make you forgive them more. It'll bring your families together. It'll bring your life together. It'll allow you to walk in the troubles of this world singing, "Anywhere is home when He's with me. I'm okay when He's present with me." And how tedious and the tasteless the hours are when Jesus no longer I see. And that's our experience anyway, whether we acknowledge that or not. But oh, how much better is it for us to acknowledge it. Here in Romans he says this, "For they that are after the flesh," verse 5 of Romans 8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now the natural man, the only thing he will have is the fleshly part, because he has no spirit if he's not born again. I can't born again one, you can't born again one. We might want our children to be born again, but we can't do that. But I tell you, the Lord doesn't have any trouble, does He? And when He quickens them, it's like the wind blows. I heard that wind last night, scared me to death. Shouldn't have been scared, but I got scared. I heard it, you know, it was the first little wind. I kind of enjoyed it. Went outside on the back porch, looked at it a little bit. Next thing you know, I came in, and it really started blowing. And then when it really started blowing, I said, "Oh boy, there's a whole lot of big trees right back behind the house. And one of them coming over, what are we going to do?" Then I started worrying about the CPAP machine. What am I going to do if my CPAP goes off? And I still worry about it. Still worried about little things. You know, I'm no different than these disciples, because here are these disciples, and listen, they had every reason not to worry about bread. And He tells them why they shouldn't have been worrying about bread. He lays it out. They should have remembered it without Him having to lay it out. But you know, it was amazing when they fed the 5,000, when Jesus did that. The disciples weren't not involved in that. They were very involved in that. As a matter of fact, they came to Jesus and said, "They're hungry. They need something to eat. What are we going to do? We better send them away because we don't have anything for them." And Jesus said, "No, you don't need to send them away." And they said, "What do we have to feed them?" And they said, "The only thing we have is this little lad here. And this little lad's got 5 loaves of barley and 2 fishes. What in the world are we going to do with so many?" And I'm talking about a crowd. Oh, if an old Baptist church had that kind of crowd on a Sunday, we'd wonder, what are we going to do for union meetings? We're talking about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. I don't know how many that is, but that's a crew. That's a bunch. And Jesus said, "That's all right. Have them sit down in groups of 50 and have them sit down in groups of 100. The disciples had them do that. Listen, the disciples were involved. And they brought that little lad's lunch to Jesus. And Jesus bowed his head and thanked God and blessed it. And he began to break it. Can you imagine the look on their face as they took out the first load and then the second load and then the third load, enough to feed in groups of 50 and 100. That'd be a lot, wouldn't it? Enough to feed 5,000. Can you imagine what they saw? And here they weren't about bread. And He showed them in that 5,000. He brought them there. They saw Him do this. They recognized who He was. If you were with Him, would you ever worry about lunch? Would you ever be concerned? We shouldn't. But I'm telling you, He's fed us every day of our life. He's been with me in just that much a miraculous way. He's taken care of me in hard and difficult times. When I've called on Him, He's been faithful to be there and supply above and beyond anything I could ask or think. And He's given me every reason not to worry about the wind blowing or the tree falling or whatever. And that doesn't mean the tree might not fall and hit my house. It simply means this: if it does, it's going to be okay, because it's in His hands and in His control. And more importantly, if I am His child, I'm in His hands and I'm under His control, and therefore I should fear not. And for me to fear or be afraid shows my lack of faith. And it shows that I'm more naturally minded, more fleshly minded than I am spiritually minded. Now, I don't know whether this fits you, but it sure fits me. Fits me in so many ways. I get scared seemingly at times over nothing. And I shouldn't. God said He's going to take care of you, didn't He? Did He say He'd ever leave you? No. Did He say He'd ever forsake you? No. And He never will. Can you believe Him? You may not believe me, but can you believe the Lord? Listen, you can believe Him. And when I speak from His Word, you can believe His Word. You can believe what He says. And what He has said to us in His Word, He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is Father's good pleasure to give unto you the King, the kingdom." And oh, He's told us so much in His Word that we ought to be able to say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And here these disciples were. He said this, and I'm back over in Romans 8. He said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In other words, the man of this world is just fleshly. That's all he is. But a little child of God, well, he's been born of the Spirit, but we still have that old flesh to contend with, don't we? Ain't she ornery? Ain't he ornery? Ain't that old man something? Little Sister Betty used to tell me, "You just call me an old woman, Brother Garrett." I wasn't calling her an old woman. I was simply saying we all have that old man and that old woman, that old person, that what we used to be. Now I'm telling you, if we don't keep that old man under and that old woman under, they'll rise up and cause your mind to be on everything but the spiritual things of this world. You have a new man. We're told to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in the image of Him that created him. We're told in the Word of God that we are to walk spiritually minded. That's why we come to church, that we might be more spiritually minded, that we might feed on His Word, so that we can keep the old man under, the old woman under, and be more spiritually minded, that we can be that in our homes and in our families and in our lives. Otherwise, brethren, if it has no effect or benefit to us. We need to be spiritually minded. When we make decisions in the church, we need to be spiritually minded. When we're hearing preaching, we need to be spiritually minded. Because if we get naturally minded, Jesus can be so plain and can bless a minister to be so plain. But if the Lord doesn't give us a spiritual mind and a spiritual heart to understand it, a spiritual ear and the discernment, then we are blinded to the truth. Remember, they saw the 5,000. That was the first occasion. But they didn't only see the 5,000, right? They saw them, and they saw them fed. And when they took up the baskets, there were 12 baskets. They had 5, and now they got 12. They got 12 baskets of that which was left over, that which was above and beyond. And they saw Him do that. Well, they came to another occasion where there was another crowd. And you would think, boy, they know what to do now. Wouldn't you know what to do? You think you know what to do, right? I've seen Jesus take care of this. We've got a crowd, big deal. Jesus took care of the last crowd. So why? All we have to do is look to the Lord. You know what they did? They did the exact same thing they did the first time. They came and said, "What are we going to do? There's too many. How are we going to feed them?" They had just seen Him take a little lad's loaves and fishes and feed the crowd. And yet they didn't have faith enough at that time, seemingly, to believe that of what He would do. Well, did He say, "Well, y'all are just a mess"? No, He said, "No, I've got this." He said, you take them and set them down." And he took this time. He said, "What do you have?" And he had the, 7 loaves? Let me get back to the text before I mess up. Let me get you Romans 8. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Listen, when we get naturally minded, we die to the joys of what the Lord's done to us. We get separated from it. But He says, "But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace." Isn't that good? So to be what? Naturally minded is death. That doesn't sound like a good way to get along in this world, does it? Doesn't sound like a good way to live. Just living separated from the fellowship of the Lord. And if that's all we had, there wouldn't be nothing but death. And that's all we would know. Can't tell someone if that's all they've got. Can't teach them anything. But the little child of God who's been given eyes needs to have them open. Who's been given ears needs to have them unstopped. Who has a heart that's been touched by God needs to have that heart open so that they're listening to things spiritually. If you have the ability to hear, then hear what the Spirit says. Hear what He's teaching. And that's what He's about to tell His disciples. He said, for to be carnally minded is death, and but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the word carnally here means natural. It's the natural mind of man is carnal. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now that's absolutely true for the man that is not born of the Spirit. But I'll tell you what else is true. For a little child of God who's operating in the flesh, they're not going to please God either. When you and I start operating in the flesh, which we're capable of doing when we allow the flesh to rule, we're not going to please God either. And that's what was happening with the disciples here. They were naturally minded. Going back to Mark 8. Wow. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? Hear him. That sounds like he's talking to me. Neither understand. You worrying about the wind blowing. You worrying about the trees falling. You worrying about the aphid. You worrying about this. You worrying about that. He says, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? He said, verse 18. He said, having eyes? You got eyes. Aren't you seeing? Have you forgotten? He says, and having ears? Hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Oh, doesn't that come back? Listen, brethren, over and over again, we come back just to remember things we've forgotten, right? I want to hear it again. I want to know it again. Do you not remember how he took care of you? Do you not remember when he was there with you in the midst of whatever trouble you've gone through? I know we've been through some dark, deep places, but the Lord was there, wasn't he? Will he leave us now, the one who's been with us through all of this? Listen, whether you're young or old, especially young, you're going to need to know there's some dark places coming, hard times. And the Lord is going to be your help and your stay. He's the one that's going to hold things together when everything else is falling apart. And he's already proven that to you. Listen, don't forget it. Your eye has been opened. Use it. Your ear has been unstopped. Hear him. And your heart has been tender. Use it in thinking. Think about things spiritually, not naturally. And he goes on and he says, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? Notice, he made them answer. Do you think he didn't know? No, he's saying, I'm going to make you remember. He said, what happened when we had that crowd that we couldn't feed? What happened? Did we have any trouble? Absolutely not. He said, you had five loaves among 5,000. How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And they worried about a loaf of bread because they don't have but one loaf. Listen, oh, you're talking about the Master. I'm worried about the trees falling. Listen, Gary, you're talking about the Master. I'm worried about a health problem. Listen, you're talking about the Master. You're not talking about any doctor. If I go to a doctor, he might be the best one in this world. He could fail and mess up, but this great physician has never lost a case. And every reason you and I have tonight is to trust in Him, whether we're sick or whether we're well. Whatever He does, we can leave our life in His hands and be at peace and rest. Being spiritually minded. If we get naturally minded, it's what? It's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And He goes on, He says, when I break the five things, He said, and they say unto you, Him, He says, and 12. And then he says, and when the seven among 4,000, see, they came to that part and they had seven loaves. He said, what do you have? Seven loaves? He set them down again. And it wasn't just him doing it. He had the disciples hand it out. It wasn't like they weren't there. It wasn't like they hadn't seen it. They acted the first time like they hadn't seen it, but now they got two lessons. Would you think you'd ever forget? How many lessons has he given me? How many lessons has he given you? And what do we do sometimes? We're just like them, aren't we? But I'm telling you, when we are, we're in as much trouble as they are. We're in that doubting and fearing state where we're losing peace and rest that we could have in simply, as he said, and as we sing, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And he said, how many? He says, and they said, they had to answer. He said, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, seven. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How is it that you don't understand what I'm saying? Now, he got the message home. Because if you go over in Matthew 16, you read this same account. And verse 11 and 12 gives us the conclusion. The rest of the story. You know, like Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. Well, the Lord has given us the rest of the story in His Word in Matthew. He says, verse 11, and you can read the other part, it all fits together. It's wonderful how the Bible does that. He says in verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? He said, how do you don't know this? That I'm not talking about bread. But he said that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And that's what he said to them. In other words, I'm telling you to beware of false doctrine. And then they understood. Oh, when he makes it plain to you, it's clear to see, isn't it? He says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. Hear it? Of the what? Of the doctrine. Does it matter what your doctrine is? Does it matter? Some people said doctrine doesn't matter. All along as you love Jesus, doctrine doesn't matter. Listen, you can't really love Jesus the way you ought to until you understand the doctrine that tells you what He really did for you. Until you understand the doctrine that tells you what you are without Him and where you would be without Him. Until you understand the doctrine that tells you what He's done for you and where you're going to be because of Him. Until you understand the doctrines that's laid down, the doctrine that's laid down in God's Word. And He said, you protect that doctrine. You stand fast in that doctrine. Don't let a little leaven get in. If you let a little works get into grace, you know what you got? You ain't got grace anymore. It'll leaven the whole lump. And you've got all works. You let a little man worship get in the church, you know what you got? You don't have worship. You're not going to worship Jesus and another man. He will not share His glory with anyone. And if we begin to worship any man or any group of men, and we get our eyes off Jesus, then He's on the outside. And we might be having fellowship, but it won't be with Him. And I'll tell you, when you don't have fellowship with Him, you've got a cold, barren place where there's nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just a mess. It might even have an appearance of godliness. It might have the name of Jesus to take away its reproach. But you won't have His bread and you won't have His apparel. And if we didn't have His bread, which is His doctrine, and we didn't have His apparel, which is His righteousness, we're in a mess, aren't we? Our righteousness would be what? Just filthy rags. And oh, I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who is our everything and our all in all. He said, then understand they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So let us stand fast in the principles and the traditions that have been laid down in God's Word, holding fast to the doctrine that's written and recorded in God's Word that was first given by Jesus to His disciples and to the apostles and then recorded and given to us in His Word. We have a more sure word of prophecy right here before us in the Word of God. May the Lord bless us to preach the Word and it only. And be instant in season and out of season and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And doctrine. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, please. God bless you. Love you, my brother. Bless you. 388.